The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter into it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord. I was a seminarian intern 20 years ago. Seems like yesterday. And I was interning for a year in a parish down the road in Annapolis, St. Andrew by the Bay. If any of you know where that is. Each Thursday, as part of my practice, as part of my training routine, I would offer a reflection on the readings following communion at the daily mass, kind of like our seminarian Luke did over the past year. It was my part of the rhythm of my life. So I knew every Wednesday I made sure that I had read the scriptures and was preparing myself mentally about what I might say on Thursday morning. The Thursday after September 11th that year, that was 2001, September 13th was the Thursday, it was the same drill. Only now, well, now things were different. The evening before, as usual, I sat at my parents' house with their Bible, the family Bible that was there, and I looked up the scripture readings for the next day. First, I looked at the gospel, as I often do. "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you." That was what Jesus was saying in that gospel. Well, I thought, maybe not this time. Let's look at the first reading. Maybe I'll preach about the first reading. I'll talk about that. St. Paul wrote, "If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also do." Darn it, I thought. Why does Jesus have to say that? Why now? And why on earth would I even want to preach about it? Well, the gospel isn't always convenient for those who preach it and for those who live it. And this is especially true when the gospel is placed into the context of real life. When that happens, we need to ask ourselves the question, which one holds? The gospel or my reality? It's a lot easier to hear "love your enemies" when you don't have enemies. It's a lot easier to hear about forgiving one another when you have not been hurt. And today, I think we hear such an inconvenient gospel, right? Jesus is very clear. Divorce is wrong. It's not part of God's plan. Marriage is a sacrament between a man and a woman. Yet here we are living in a world where half of the marriages we encounter end in separation, divorce, and pain. Each of us probably have an experience of divorce either in our own lives or in the lives of someone near us. What are we to hear when we listen to this gospel? What are they to hear? Is it still valid in our current circumstances? Or are those some circumstances somehow beyond Jesus' ability to sympathize? Ignoring what we hear today is not the way to deal with it. We cannot simply say that Jesus was speaking in a first century context and things are more complex these days. This is the Word made flesh speaking to us, the Word of God. Therefore, we have something to learn from it and a way of life to follow. When Jesus encounters the Pharisees, he encounters legalism. These men are the spin doctors of the law and of religious conversation. They know how to play with those words. They know how to play with the law to get the biggest benefit for themselves out of it. We all know what spin is, don't we? If you ever watch the White House press briefing, right? Or any other kind of thing, like that is what spin is. I'm not condemning Democrats or Republicans about it because it happens to everyone. Right? You could have President Biden could throw a baby out the window and they would be explaining how it was wonderful that he made the baby fly or something. You know, there's always going to be some kind of spin put on it. And this was certainly the case in Jesus' time. So they wanted to trap Jesus with a cultural question about marriage. That sound familiar? Their law offered the opportunity to dismiss a wife, not a husband, to dismiss a wife for any, quote, defect. That was what was in the law. And this defect could be anything from adultery to poor cooking. So when Jesus answers this question, it's important. Jesus teaches them, and he asks them, and he takes them back to even before the law, right? The law on Mount Sinai was given probably around the year 1300 BC, give or take a century. 1300 BC. So there was probably a few years before that while human beings were wandering the planet, right? He takes them back there to the beginning, which is well before that, to God's plan in creation. He calls us to remember that when God created humanity, he gave us man and woman, and that when they join together, they are no longer two, but one flesh. We probably have heard this at many weddings that we've gone to, right? Perhaps you chose it for yourself. This is the grounds for Jesus' teaching that what God has joined together, no human being must separate. This is why we teach and recognize that holy matrimony is a sacrament between only a man and a woman. The original unity of humanity is Jesus' point of departure, not the way our plans fall apart, but how God intended it. He didn't start with the Pharisees' spin. The points that we can draw from this difficult teaching of Christ is that our faith is not a matter of picking and choosing which words of Jesus we want to follow. It's not a matter of rationalizing our behavior or hiding behind manipulated laws. What we can draw is that God recognizes in us the possibility of being faithful to his word. He believes that you and I are capable of so much more than we give ourselves credit for. Yes, marriage is difficult and challenging and even fragile in today's culture. It always has been. But there are many faithful and loving, even heroic couples who live their promises and their sacrament of vocation well. This should be a reminder of the saying of Jesus. Rather than some pie-in-the-sky ideal, the reality of it lived in our life. It is a call to enter the real life that God knows we deserve and for which we are created. There are no throwaway sayings in Scripture. Many of them are hard. Sometimes in my weaker moments, like that evening in September of 2001, I catch myself saying, "Man, I wish Jesus hadn't said that." However, this is the gospel, whether we choose to read it or not, whether we choose to live it or not. Rather than seeing it as a club with which to beat each other and ourselves up, we can see it as a reminder that God has standards for us and he believes that we can live up to them with his grace. Jesus' own life was an exemplification of this possibility. He suffered for his teachings and his actions. He even died for them. However, he also reached out to those who are hurt and broken, to sinners, to the marginalized and the outcast. We too must imitate that same compassion. For those who have felt the pain of divorce, God loves you just as much as he did before everything went to pot. He still loves you. You are still cherished. You belong. You are not removed from the covenant. You are not removed from Christ. God loves you. On October 11th, next Monday, at St. Bernadette, the Archdiocesan Tribunal will be presenting about the church's healing ministry through annulments. I encourage you, if you have experienced that and are curious about that, please attend it. They've been wonderful sessions. They've been doing them for several years in various places around the diocese. At St. Bernadette at 7 o'clock next Monday, I want to encourage you to go and hear what they have to say. Even if you have no stake in this, it might be interesting for you to hear. But it's such a wonderful opportunity for healing. And I know many, many people and couples who have benefited from that. Feeling at odds with the gospel can be an immense burden for people. Think about those who experience same-sex attraction and are Christian and Catholic and hear people who consider themselves good Catholics bashing homosexuals. Think about that burden that they have to carry, that they shouldn't have to carry it because of our lack of compassion. These are people whom we know. These are people whom we love, people whom we could be related to. In imitation of Jesus, it is not Christian to marginalize or demonize others whose lives bear the cross of either divorce or same-sex attraction, both of which are related to today's readings. A divorced person still has a right to the gospel. A gay couple ought to enjoy civil rights guaranteed to them. We are still called to be compassionate and loving. Love of neighbor remains right up there with love of God. And Jesus still holds us to that as well. When we hear Jesus say difficult things, we can do one of two things. We can shrug it off and look for a more comfortable way to live, or we can be encouraged that God has great expectations of us because he knows we can do it with the grace that he is completely willing to give. The story we hear today, in which Jesus quotes, is not a condemnation of us, nor is it an indictment of those who have slipped up in following him. Rather, it is a reminder that our relationships are gifts from God, which ought to be lived out appropriately, and that at last we can be aware that God has placed us in line for a vocation of relationship with one another and with him.